Hey everyone, we had a fantastic show to kick off 2024, and we discussed the recent crypto overnight pump and what will happen going forward with the Bitcoin ETF decision coming up. We discussed the recent surge in certain NFT projects across Solana, Bitcoin Ordinals, and Ethereum. And lastly, we discussed some predictions for 2024 across crypto and NFTs. Enjoy the show. And we are live. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the very first NFT morning show of 2024. We have a blockbuster show coming in as crypto and NFTs are just scorching. Things are going crazy. We're discussing crypto's scorching overnight run. The recent NFT 10Xs across the board. We saw 400X over the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to share our hot predictions for 2024. I know Easy tweeted out some of them already over the weekend. But real quick, before we get started, I had some issues with Twitter Space. So if you could do me a favor and bookmark the tweet and like, because that will help us. It'll help support the show. It'll get it across to more people and hopefully get some listeners in here as well so we can get this popping. Easy, what's going on, man? Happy New Year. I saw you you're doing some stuff in Miami. It was looking crazy over there.
It was a good time. I was out and about. I was living my life, you know, listening to Spanish music, banging my head like, no hablo Espanol. No hablo Espanol. It was great. Really can't complain, but that's about all I know. I can tell you the vibes were immaculate. It's a good time. Clemente, you ready to get down here, dude?
That's a real I'm excited. I'm fired up. I got my apartment good to go. I'm living in the art district. So
wow, look at this guy. He's in it for the art. The provenance.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I for those curious, I moved to Miami. I move in on Friday morning. I fly out on Chile Thursday night. It's going to be awesome. And last night, I was watching my dogs get the win over Texas.
Big dub.
The one problem with Chile is that it's 5 hours ahead of Pacific time. So the game ended at 3:30 a.m. last night, which is just a disaster. Like, I'm sitting there. Still, like, a little bit of a lack of sleep from New Year's and, like, just struggling to stay awake. But we got the win. Signal, let's get this show on the road. We have so much to cover, so much action in the last 24 hours, in the last 4 or 5 days that I want to get through. So let's take it away with the weather report whenever you are ready.
Absolutely, Clemente. Happy New Year, everyone. It is Tuesday, January the 2nd. How are we looking across the market? Well, that market volume is coming in at 23.6 million. Blur at 17. OpenSea down in the fours. And Solana pulled back a little bit from last year, down to 6.9 million. If we look at the market leaders, look at the top movers. Well, most of the ETH NFTs have been just bleeding across the board, except for the Plague, which is up 30%. Goblin Town up 20%. And Sproto Gremlins also up 25%. Over the weekend, top big four stories are number one, obviously crypto, starting the year off to an absolutely scorching hot race. Bitcoin pumped 6% to 45,500. It's the highest price since April in 2022. Solana is also up 10% to $115. Ethereum is up 4%. And Say is the biggest gainer, up 20% to 0.75. On to the second story. Well, the win of the weekend was Steamboat Willie as it became public domain on January the 1st. And Truth Labs co-founder Alexander, he set up a 2,000 supply $2 mint of the first NFT to capture the public domain. Despite it taking over 40 minutes to sell out, this one absolutely cooked. It went from a $2 mint up to 0.45 ETH, so $400 before pulling back to its current price of 0.18. On to the third story, it's an over on Ordinals. It's Node Monkeys. They've become the latest craze after they sold out for 0.03 BTC each. The collection then went on to do a 6X to 0.18C BTC, which is over $8,000 or 3.4 ETH. Node Monkeys has recorded over $20 million in trading volume and now currently holds 0.14 BTC floor. And then lastly, airdrop season in absolute full swing. If you saw it on a timeline, the Solana-based LFG token was giving users an airdrop dependent on how much gas they had spent on ETH as a way to try and onboard more ETH users into the Solana ecosystem. For some of the higher volume traders, the airdrop ended up being a few hundred dollars, and the LFG's LFG's total market cap is nearly 70 million. That is all for the weather report. It is off to an El Scorcho week as we head. That is back to you folks in the studio.
Thank you for that amazing weather report signal. So much stuff in there. When I was going over the weekend, I was like, there's just an insane amount of action going on right now. And Easy, I saw you tweet, you're like, this is literally the season where you just can't get away from your computer. Like that Steamboat Willie mint just.
Dude, I knew absolutely there was going to be a minute midnight. I knew it. I was sitting there. I think I even posted it before. I was like, someone's going to drop something at midnight. Like it's just going to happen and it's going to fucking cook. It's just the market we're in. Is you can't leave, you can't do anything, you give up any sense of existing besides from your desk. It's Uber Eats and DoorDash season, it's diaper season, it's at the point where it's like, yeah, dude, I'm going to order groceries, never make the groceries, call the DoorDash guy, give him the code to my door so he can bring it to my desk, because I can't even sacrifice a minute of getting up at this point. Between airdrops, NFTs, like, what is you're literally just losing money. If you sleep, you lose money. It's wild.
Coach is saying I haven't slept for weeks. I agree wholeheartedly. Bunny, did you get involved with Steamboat Willie at all? That pumped from $2 to 0.45 ETH, and I saw you had Alex on your show last night.
Nah, I missed it, man. I was with the family, and I didn't think anybody was going to drop something exactly at midnight.
Yeah, it was. I saw it when I was going to bed. And it was like 3 a.m. my time. And I was like, oh, what is this? Like, it hadn't fully minted out yet. And I was like, oh, this looks kind of dumb. Like, you might, hopefully it sells out. It was a $2 mint and ended up just absolutely cooking. I couldn't. Yeah. It's those things, I guess, where if you get it, you see, and you're like, I'm just going to dump. I'm going to buy 5 of these or 10 of these. And
dude,
and
they were $2. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, if you see it and it gets posted in a group chat for $2, you just buy one because you're like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. And that's exactly why it's going to pump. Like, you just left curve. This market is pure left curve right now. It's like, yeah, the dumber something is, like, dude, it's public domain. You don't need to own the NFT to do anything with this. You got some guy making a horror video game using Steamboat Willie right now. Like, you don't need, he doesn't own the NFT. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to own shit. You just can do whatever you want with it. That's the worst part. It drives me insane.
Had it for the life of its own, though, Easy, right? Like, because you had the meme
token. Yeah, hold your Willy.
Drop a Willy token and then give allocation to the NFT holders.
Well, that's why it pumped. It was because that allocation was worth like 0.6, like out the gate. So if you bought this for $2, it went to 0.4. You got like a little more than half an ETH. I dropped that. A little more than half an ETH of hold your Willy token, which absolutely electric name. And so now you have a public domain, a bunch of a shitcoin, all for $2. If you did not enjoy your New Year's Eve, is what that was the reward. Here's $2,500, basically. And to be honest, that's a way better use of time.
It went 100% Easy. So correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of feels like tokens right now are basically just using existing NFT holders as like a marketing plan, basically, where they're 100%. Like, hey, we're gonna target these people. Why hasn't this happened sooner? And
it has. Captains, Grapes, Dice, Block Games Dice. And even before that, you look at stuff where there was speculation of getting a token. There was an AI art project that Kix was a really big fan of last year, if you remember. I forget what the name was. Botto?
Was that the one Botto? No, I think Botto was a year before that. But are you talking about the project where you went and made your own AI using their algorithm?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Those were the ones. But I just remember Kix was really big into one of these where like owning the NFT got you the token that then you could go vote. And if you voted, that art got minted that day and the token pumped. So you have seen signs of this. But to me, it's just like a meta right now. Like it's the same kind of like mantra is just like, hey, let's give these tokens to these people who are already in the space. They're going to tweet the ever living shit out of it and get people excited. But we're already seeing like games do this is the big thing. Like a lot of these games are doing it and it's why there's hype and speculation. I'd say 85 to 90% of the people who hold these gaming NFTs will never play the game. Like they're doing it for the token allocation.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. Let's go through the rest of the stories from the Nifty Daily Digest and then we'll get into some of the meat and potatoes of this. I'm very curious to see, Easy, if you minted or if you got an allocation from the LFG token.
I did. Yeah, I did. Got not it. A ton. I think it was, oh, we'll go into it after, sorry.
Yeah. Going into some stories from the Nifty Daily Digest, you can go subscribe to this at thenifty.com. It was in the running for newsletter of the year. We lost, unfortunately, but you know, you win some, you lose some. First story is Wrecked Guy announced that holders from their October snapshot will be gifted equity in Wrecked brands. And this is less than a week after The Plague announced a similar reward structure for their holders. Signal, I know you're a big Wrecked Guy fan. You've gone to some of their events. Do you
I'm
own
not a fan. I'm an equity holder, Clemente. Can we just get the title right, please? No. I'm an, you know, it's like I go and do my PhD, I become a doctor, and you're still like calling me an NFT holder. No. I am now an equity shareholder. Look, first of all, huge surprise on this. Obviously, I think if any project that decides to do this has to keep this on the lowdown. Otherwise, you end up people buying the NFTs because they know they're going to become equity holders. So I love that they were able to sneak this out into the market without really causing a stir. I'm very bullish on Mando and OSF. Think they're phenomenal guys. They contribute so much to the space. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens here, because what's interesting is Wrecked brands, you can see it in the third paragraph, that owns all the Wrecked Guy contract, the logo, the IP, all the goodwill around it. So this is like this is everything in the Wrecked ecosystem. I'm super happy, and I'll definitely will be trying their drink when it comes out. And I think we're probably going to see more projects go this way as well, because we had The Plague just within 1 week, now Wrecked. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see more projects doing this year.
It's a huge play, and I think it makes it really interesting when all of a sudden you have a shareholder or equity holder. I think if anything, it makes that effect that Pudgy Penguins had, for example, when everyone is supporting their plushies, the holders buy like 50 of them. Same with Kalanosaurs. Now you're doing a similar thing with the Wrecked Guy things that they're doing. Sir Heavy Bags, who's rocking a Wrecked Guy, is asking me to show some respect to the collection, which is interesting. next story we have is a Sharkify, which is another, they're an NFT lending platform. They announced that they're also doing a token. So it's full on token season. Easy, is there anything else we need to know about Sharkify and their upcoming token launch?
I was actually kind of surprised that they announced this token launch, because they do have a token right now called Fishy, which is their utility token. But now they said that Shark, money sign H-A-R-K, will be a secondary token that they're dropping out. I'm very curious to see how like a dual tokenomic structure will work with it, because that tends to be a little bit more difficult, but it's a new airdrop farm that people can get involved in and get active on, which I know everyone's excited for. There's a ton of opportunity right now, and this year's starting literally red hot with all these different airdrops. It's basically, in my opinion, you pick two or three that you can actually focus on, because there's double digits, pushing triple digits of stuff that you can get involved in. You don't want to spread yourself too thin, because there's lockups on some. Obviously, with a lending protocol, anywhere from 7 to 14 days, your Solana's locked. Taking inherent risk from the NFTs going down with soul pumping here too. There's a lot of stuff that plays into it. So it's like, pick your lane, stick to it, and have conviction in the ones that you actually spend some time on, because there's a lot of opportunity. And I think all of them will be fairly fruitful. Like, I don't think you're going to waste your time with any of the many options that you can pick.
Yeah. That it's so funny. Real quick, a note before we move on to the next story. You know, things are hot when like people are getting mad that the thing that they own is not getting talked about more. Like people are like, how is Ordinal Monkeys not the number one story right now? We're dominating. We were talking about it just now. But let me fire through the rest of these stories before we move on to discussing what's been going on. But Saiyans, which is a Say NFT mint, this got up to a $400 floor from a free mint. I tried to go on the website. Couldn't even get on the website for this, which I guess is bullish, but we'll discuss more about that later on in the show. We had Three Landers, a popular collection. I don't know if you guys remember from February of 2022, their team announced that the entire team will be getting laid off. It happened on December 31st, and they kind of laid out the next steps of what will happen to the existing collection. Wild stuff. I tweeted about it, and some people DM me saying that these guys made like upwards of $5 to $10 million from their mint royalties. They were at a 2+ ETH floor for quite some time. So pretty wild stuff. Easy. Any thoughts on this? I don't know if you remember Three Landers from back in the day.
I actually held them, and I traded the backpacks pretty aggressively too, if you remember those. So they did that secondary drop that was these backpacks for the game and lands and some other things. So I did, I've actually been in and out of the ecosystem a few times. This caught me totally by surprise to see this, and I'm like, oh, damn. Okay, so that's pretty difficult for any project that's shutting down. But I think it's just a realization that many times these NFTs are much like businesses. And when you looked at the dot-com bubble, it was like 97% of those went under. You look at the 2008 and 16 economic crises where like basically startups were imploding at a 99% rate. So it's not terribly surprising. I feel for the holders because like it's always tough when a project shuts down. But it's almost better that they come out with a public announcement saying, hey, this is the sad reality and the harsh situation. We're shutting down operations instead of just vanishing. You know what I mean? Like you see so many projects who just stop posting. Like I've even gone back and looked at some of the stuff that I traded in 2021 and gone to the socials. They haven't had a tweet in 18 months. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty goddamn bad. Versus,
I mean, it's better for like the founder's legal liability, but as a holder, do you honestly, like, I couldn't care less if he ghosts me or like, if you're, hey man, I'm rugging you. Like I'm supposed to feel better about my bad investment.
Yeah, but dude, it's the same situation. Like, you're not going to feel better about it regardless. But like, I look at something like a traditional equity that you buy and then the company announces that they're bankrupt. That ticker and stock chart is literally just a piss missile down. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same exact thing. And yet
yeah, but I'd rather them just fall off the face of the earth.
Okay, to each their own. You and me can agree to disagree on this one, big dog.
Big dog is a crazy thing to call bunny. The only other thing I will say on this, Easy, that's been interesting, is I'm noticing projects that literally have not tweeted for months. They've gone radio silent, now are posting again. They're tweeting every day. They're tweeting GMs. I've noticed that on 2 to 3 projects. I don't want to name them, but that were literally like, yo, we're just done. And all of a sudden like, hey, like we're back. Hey, or they start tweeting little memes and all that stuff. And it's kind of working because their floor prices start pumping. But with royalties possibly coming back and all of a sudden like money entering the space again, it's really interesting to see more and more projects start coming out of the woodworks along with just other people we haven't heard from in a while. Sig, I saw you on mute.
No, I say if royalties come back, first of all, name them because I think we should name and shame them so we know, just so we know who's coming back just for the exclusive party. But no, if royalties come back, you're going to see stuff crawl out of the woodwork that you haven't seen in ages. Like, what is it? The Azuki of the Wild Wild West. I can't remember the name of it. Outlaws. I think that one is called. Like all those kind of projects that have gone to zero, they're just all going to come back. And it's just, and it's going to be good because it'll bring momentum and volume and liquidity back to the market. And then if the macro market is also pumping as well, you'll just see like liquidity across the board. But you definitely have to be on the lookout for the projects that disappeared and then just decided to come back because inevitably when the market goes quiet again, they're going to disappear again.
Right, right. But it is interesting. Like I'm trying not to get into some of these projects that I used to own. I lost money on. I'm like, hey, well, maybe I can make some money off of them. And yeah, I mean, I wrote off. I was going through some of the projects that I was like on December 31st because we had low gas. I was just selling things left and right, just harvesting losses like there was no tomorrow. And some of the things that I was selling for literally $0 are the ones that are like, hey, remember us? Like we're back. So anyways, last couple of stories. We had Sappy Seals announce that they're going to be ending their staking emissions for their Pixel token in Q1 2024 and hard capping their supply at 500 million tokens. This announcement caused a roughly 25 to 30% pump in the Sappy Seals collection before pulling back. Next story, Kath Simmered, the photographer, did a drop on Solana and sold out a 222 supply.
I'm so mad I missed this.
This is awesome. Easy, do you happen to know if this is her first ever Solana?
Solana drop. Yeah, first ever Solana drop. And I just really like the picture. Like, to be honest, I'm like, this picture slaps. Like, really, really good picture. Day one, it's dope. Like, everything about it is just awesome. And it's great to see some of these well-known and respected ETH artists come into Solana, find success, just like this. Like, I think this is so cool to see and just shows that there's a lot of opportunity. Oh, and someone actually said it's not her first Solana drop. I thought it was. First Solana Open Edition, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see the comments. People, I'm sure, will know better than us. Yes, and it also will onboard her collectors from ETH to Solana. It's a win-win for everyone, and I think the more artists get start trying out these different blockchains as Solana, just continuing to get another win, though. I will say, Easy, and we can talk about later on in the show, things are a little bit quiet on the Solana side. I know there was that free mint that you were talking about that got botted, or that stealth mint. But last story, we had artist Rip Cash sell out a 64 supply. This was also a stealth mint style or surprise mint style swarm for 0.16 BTC each. And the floor got all the way up to, I think it did almost a 2x, but now it's sitting at a 0.22 BTC floor. So another win on Ordinals, more action on there. But let's get into the meat and potatoes of the show. Easy. We're in this mode right now. We saw crypto get a massive overnight pump. Bitcoin pumped 7% in the last 24 hours. I believe it's almost up to $46,000. Was there any reason behind that? I go on Twitter and I see like four different reasons why, and I don't know kind of what to make of it. Saw some people relating it mostly to the Bitcoin ETF, but is there anything we need to know about this overnight crypto pump?
People are speculating that it's like the imminent ETF approval is like the big thing that the people are like front running new year. So now people are deploying capital more freely, obviously with kind of the new fiscal year is always a big part of it. Like any traditional business entity, I guess you could say. So to me, I don't think there's much behind it aside from the speculation. TradFi is saying 90% chance of approval January 10th, which is huge, which I think that's the ARK Invest one. And then you have within the following 5 days, the other like 15 could theoretically get approved. And Bitcoin being the major drives action to all the others, which is where we're kind of seeing this price action right here. Personally, I kind of outlined like a thesis that I had. I was like, I think, and a lot of people are like, yeah, you're crazy. Everyone thinks it's going to be a sell the news event. So it's not going to be a sell the news event. We'll see. But I mean, I'm well deployed. I've been saying it a lot. Like I'm over invested, but I still want to be uncomfortably invested in crypto where yeah. I'm happy with my allocations.
You mean a short-term sell the news event?
Short-term,
easy,
or do
you
very short-term? Like I'm like, talking 7-10 days. Like,
yeah. Okay. Cool.
You get it, and I think it might even be a harsh sell-off, like 15% over a 7-day period, which is like an aggressive sell-off, just because it's going to capture late longs who are like, I'm just going to long the ETF news. And when you see the same type of thing with like traditional finance, a lot of these news events spike, give those people who were long into it the exit opportunity. And then you end up getting like a sell the news event just purely to catch the late longs and liquidate for a higher move after. It's going to open up so much money from traditional finance to go into crypto with the easiest path that they've ever had. Like previously, many people speculate it's just Coinbase stock or miners that give you it. Now you're actually going to be able to essentially get direct access. The thing though is, I keep seeing a lot of people say this means that they're going to have to hold Bitcoin as a reserve. But if you actually look at the documentation, they made BlackRock changed their application so that it does not have to be directly backed. That's the big thing that I think a lot of people are overlooking. So it will still have some comparative value to it. But if it's pushed through right now with the same verbiage, and if I'm understanding it correctly, which I think I am here, they don't have to own the assets one-to-one, which is a much bigger thing. Because if they did, that'd be insane amounts of buy pressure.
Yeah, so I imagine they're going to diversify their assets and hold a mix of cash, bonds, like whatever is considered to be the highest quality asset as a backing of like as a backing to the ETF fund. Because yeah, I completely agree. There'll be too much. There'll be way too much pressure if they had to do, if all the funds had to do one to one.
I agree. That's a big thing for me. I'm like, yeah, where does it go from here on that? You know what I mean? So like I'm looking at it from that perspective where I want to actually see them figure out like what that path forward is to understand what assets they actually have to hold under it. Yeah. And I just saw, shout out for Roku, I just tweeted, it's 12 Bitcoin ETFs that are all on the docket from final deadline is anywhere from the 10th, which is ARX, to March and May, which is all the way down to Franklin Bitcoin ETF. So there's a ton that's coming into it as well. The market's really, really interesting though. This year, election year, ETF approval, Bitcoin halving, like so many bull cases. And it's just wild to see because I got to toot my own horn here, but I've been yelling from the mountaintops that I was like 2024, that Q3 2023 feels like the true bottom will be in. And then after that, every dip's for buying and it's playing out in that thesis. I do wish Solana was at like $99 so that the DCA was still on. I've since
you turned it off. You've turned off the DCA and now are you doing the DCA daily on AVAX now?
So I have been DCAing daily on AVAX even when I was doing it with Solana, but now it's a little bit heavier on AVAX. Solana is only being bought on red days, which is what I've set up. And then I'm also now started to add to my Cosmos ecosystem plays, where I'm now daily DCAing Say and Celestia. Both of those are the two that I added as well to just start to compound. I spent a lot of time over the holiday weekend looking into Cosmos and just trying to learn everything about it, because the timeline's been electric with Say, Celestia, and Atom are the three that the timeline seems to be obsessed with right now. And for me, I was like, okay, I like to at least look into these chains to figure out why people are so excited about them. And after two full days of reading into it, I was like, oh shit, yeah, okay, this feels good. So I ended up just buying a ton of spots, Say, at around 55 cents. I've been buying Celestia for like the better part of the month and a half now. And then me and Beanie actually had a discourse on Twitter yesterday talking about Say. And Nick was like, why are you guys doing this? And I was like, Nick, just call me. I'll Cosmos pill you real quick. Because this one to me feels like, from a tech stack perspective, I'm like, okay, this actually feels good. Like, a lot of people don't realize that even today, current blockchains are using Cosmos's SDK, which for the non-technical is like an easy way to create and leverage technical applications and more just out of the box, like streamline the process. The other thing is these two blockchains, really high throughput, to the point where Say right now, their marketplace has a queue. It has a wait time of almost 2 hours to get onto the marketplace to buy an NFT. Almost 2 hours. So the demand is there.
Sorry, I tried going on it last night because I was trying to prep the weather report to look at the Sayans like price action. And I was like, oh, I'm number 3,000 in the queue. And like, yo, you got to wait an hour. Just get on. What is going on? Why is that?
It's not a blockchain issue is the worst part. It's an infrastructure issue. The app cannot sustain the number of users on the website. And that's like the bigger problem. So they were just like, screw it. We're not even going to figure out how to increase this infrastructure right now. We're just going to slap a queue on it. Which reminds me of like early Top Shot days, where it was like, you are number 62,407 in queue to buy a pack, and there's 50,000 packs. So you end up waiting 4 hours in hopes that 10,000 people don't buy it. And now you're seeing similar with this Cosmos stuff. And to me, that just shows like friction, which means that you're still early. When that friction goes away, that's where I'm worried. Right now, there's still a ton of friction. It's a brand new wallet for many people with Kepler. There's not any easy to use bridges to get tokens into that. So it's like you're buying it on exchanges and then transferring out. It works well. Kepler wallet does work well. So I do like that. Like, I'm a fan of that. It's just interesting because it's a totally new ecosystem. And one of my theses go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, like, would you say where that ecosystem is now is where Ordinals was in January last year when it was all the spreadsheet, the whole spreadsheet trading?
It's Solana 2021. It's Solana, okay. To a literal T is Solana 2021. Like, there's no tools. The infrastructure is terrible. When you were buying NFTs on Sol in 2021, you'd spam the refresh button on the marketplace to see where the floor was. You were just refreshing listings to see if, like, is it moving up? Is it moving down? Are new listings piling in? Or is it getting swept too quick? You're just slamming refresh. And there were so many marketplaces that, like, you were trying to figure out what would get listed where, because those were the ones that would pump. Like, at the time, it was Solinart. And if an NFT got listed on Solinart, it would gigascend. If it got listed on Digitalize, you'd probably lose money. So, and then Magic Eden obviously came over and figured out like really customer friendly facing stuff that let them gain the market share. And now obviously we have Tensor and some of these others. But with Say, it's just like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is early 2021 Solana vibes. Like, it's cheap mints. You're getting stuff for like one Say, which is literally 70 cents. That's going to 200-300, which isn't a ton of money. It's like 150, 200 bucks, but going 70 cents to $200, and which lets you compound your Say at that point is crazy. Cause to me, that's the end goal. And with this inherent interest, there's a lot of people trying it, a lot of people learning about it, a lot of projects popping up, a lot of people shifting to that ecosystem. We'll see how much staying power it has, but even it's been almost 2 weeks. And for me, that was longer than we saw with Aptos and Sui now coming back, to be honest, but like Aptos had like a 72-hour shelf life, whereas Say and Celestia and some of these others seem like they have some level of staying power because people are enjoying it.
It's hard for me, and I'm listening to this and I'm like, damn, I need to get into this. Like, I need to start exploring it. But what you were saying earlier, Easy, of this point of being disciplined and like really getting in and specializing on two or three of these things versus like trying to do everything half-ass seems to me to be the best way forward. Does this Say action to you speak as something that potentially you should be like really getting in and trying to master at to get an advantage over other people that might not be as in the know of it?
To be honest, I just don't have a ton of time to do that. So like for me, my easiest path forward is just buy the token. Like, that's it. It's like, if I want eco, if I want to take a swing at this, I'm just going to buy Say and just sit on it. Like, that's the easiest path forward for me. Like, I'm staking my Celestia for airdrops. I'm just buying Say through a DCA approach. Like, send it to a dollar, that's a 2x. And at that point, I'll reassess how much more I really want to add. And that's the thing, is like, I'm up 50% right now, which is crazy because I definitely didn't buy enough. But
we covered this on the show on Friday. We were like, oh, Beanie's tweeting about this going to a dollar when it was at 50 cents. And it's gone at 50% since then. In the last 7 days, this thing is up 64% at
what's
7.
Interesting to me is look at the all time. Like, click the all time. And what's the most interesting part to me is look how new this chain is. Like, that's what's crazy, is this thing is 3-4 months old. And Celestia is the same way. It's like 2 to 3 months old. And one of my theses in 2024 was that a new chain will literally make people millionaires. And I think so. Like, that's my thesis right now, is that we're going to see new chains get user adoption, go through the same pitfalls and hurdles that we've seen previously, create their own ecosystems, get some diehard believers, and those people that hit on it are going to be ecstatic. Like, dude, Say's a $1.7 billion market cap. Like, yeah, it's... It's
yeah, but easy on chain. It's interesting because you were saying, like, on the BTC side of things, you think there's going to be a sell off for those 7 to 10 days, and I feel like if you wanted to get into these alt tokens now,
that's when
that 7 to 10 day period is when you'd be buying them, which basically would be next week if your theory turns out that this could be a sell the news event, because you're going to see a really hard pullback on that. But I'm interested to know, like, you mentioned Friction, and we were talking about Ronin last week, and then I think we're talking about Near as well. Like, when you're looking at these protocols and you're thinking about, like, how hard it is to get into them and how much you want to allocate, how do you look at how much you want to put into these sort of like test protocols, which might not make it until the end of the year?
It's a much smaller percentage. And that's why now, like, seeing that 50% runner, I'm like, I didn't buy enough, you know, because that's always the thesis when you're taking smaller swings. Because I want to say right now, it's probably 15% of my crypto portfolio that's spread out across 5 different tokens that are really high speculative bets. So about 3% per. It's like a minuscule amount in comparison. Whereas my conviction plays like the AVAX, the Solana are much larger allocations. Of course, I still have some BTC in there. But once again, like, I hold 0 liquid ETH. Like, that's not the only time I get ETH is if I'm looking to trade something on the NFT side of things. Like, I'm not interested in the price action on ETH right now at all. I think that there's better risk rewards on even this 15% of stuff that I think will significantly outpace. Like, in 3 days, I'm up 50%. Whereas if I left that in ETH, I'd be up 4%. Like,
I think you're underestimating ETH a bit too much. I think, like, once this, what, like, if the ETF goes through next week, like, that means the ETH ETF narrative just kicks off, and it hasn't been priced in at all. So I feel like there's more action on ETH to come. But I do agree with you. I've got most of my ETH just staked away, and I'm just like over on blast.
Me, an all-time high is not even a 2x anymore. So when I look at that, yeah, I'm like, that's not exciting to me. That's not where I want to make the trade. An all-time high for Sol right here is a 2.3x. So why would I want to push towards that? Or an all-time high for AVAX here is a 4x. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm like, why would I want to allocate to ETH when I can allocate towards these other tokens that if ETH and Bitcoin hit all-time high, there's a very high likelihood that Solana and AVAX will do the same, which has a higher risk return. So that's why I'm like, that's where I'd rather allocate those same funds to get a higher percentage gain on that trade and look at it from that perspective. Whereas even now, ETH going to 10K is a 5x, which to then get sold, in my opinion, conservatively a 5x would be almost $560, which even then is like those two swings. I feel way better about the Solana side of it versus the ETH side of it, which would be, you know, a 2.5x over all-time high. To me, that's where I'm starting to look at some of these things. And I'm like, it's all about the risk profile and then the return profile. And when I look at these newer chains, they're literally just permanently in price discovery. Like, that's the crazy part to me, is like, say going to $2 here feels crazy, but we literally have no idea. What if it garners some great adoption? All of a sudden an app drops that 1 million people are using, like Stepin did for Solana. Like, there's an opportunity for that you can't even price in. And because the chain is 4 months old, I'd rather take some level of risk there versus ETH, which is still struggling with gas fees. We just saw Vitalik put out a roadmap for ETH, and I didn't understand a single goddamn word on that piece of paper. Not a single thing. And I looked at it, I was like, I don't know what this dude is saying, but that kind of scares me. And then I go onto Cosmos's website and I look at all the stuff they're breaking down. It's like a modular blockchain where they compare it to Legos. And I'm like, that's easy to understand. That makes a lot of sense. That makes it clear as to why this could do well versus ETH, where it's like, yeah, proto-dank sharding in less than 3 months. And I'm like,
I was into the B-check space actually earlier, and one of the things that he was saying was that the reason why ETH could take such a beating this year and was because most of the allocation can now go to the ETH L2s. So instead of trying to run, instead of trying to get a risk return profile on Ethereum layer one, you essentially can go and put all your money into the layer twos. It means that most of the capital is now diversified across the Ethereum ecosystem, but on the layer twos. So I kind of get what you're saying here, that it's like, even if you do want to have an ETH play, the best bet 2024 is probably not actually holding the token, but either holding a layer two potentially, or you know, if you're lucky, you hit on an NFT that absolutely goes wild this year. But it's just like, playing ETH this year is probably not the way to do it, how we did in the previous years, which was just to sit on your ETH and then hope that you're going to get a 2-3x. It sounds like this year that play for your risk return profile needs to be done differently.
If I'm holding ETH right now, putting it into Blur and farming Blur for season 3 in March, and then taking it in March and putting it into every single L2 that I can farm, from Eigenlayer to Manta to you name it. I'm just taking all that liquid ETH, bridging it, staking it, doing everything I possibly can to farm that liquid ETH versus hold spot. That's the, in my opinion, the best way to take that liquid ETH value and get max return value, because that'll give you a 5. Even if you get 20% returns on every one of those, you'll have 100% gain by the end of the year, in my opinion.
Sorry, what? Yeah, but why do that in March? Not do that just now. Just go take your ETH and just allocate it into L2s now.
Yeah, so I still, but because I'm saying I would max bid Blur right now to maximize points for the Blast, which is an L2. Like, that's why I would until the release of it. We have a finite date, a general month when Blast will be coming out. So you at least know that if I just max stake the shit out of this, put it all into Blur for the Blur points, because I think the Blur points, you can, if you need that ETH to then go and get something else, you're not locked up. Like, if you send it to the Blast wallet where you are, that's why I'm like, I would rather go the Blur route, because Blur price action is also a pseudo bet on the NFT market, much like Spencer said previously. So you kind of have this dual level exposure where if the market runs hot and NFTs end up rallying, I think Blur will also catch a bid and you're going to end up getting some traction. So to me, I think the Blur play outweighs the Blast play, because you're not locked, and that lockup actually unlocks February, I think. So you have about 30 days, whereas you can just stack the multiplier with Blur. So there's like angles that I look at this, and I'm, once again, you can put your ETH to work way more efficiently than just sitting spot. And I think you're spot on by saying, like, why would you not go after these L2s? You don't even need to buy the L2s. What you can do is farm them, get the tokens. Now you have additional exposure without costing much capital at all, especially because the L2s are gas friendly to an extent.
I like that play.
And Sig, on that note, and Easy, I'm curious what you think. I've been pretty excited about Blur as the actual token at 50 cents. It is interesting to me. Here's my super simple way of looking at it. NFT volume has done almost 5x in the last month and a half or so. And I look at the Blur token as kind of a bet on the NFT ecosystem, is the way I'm looking at it. And I look at a 4x in trading volume on Blur, for example, yet the token stays pretty much steady other than that run that we had after the Blur airdrop. I'm like, this has to be a buy and stake play that has some solid upside in the next couple of months. I put $2,000 into it, and I'm just kind of letting it sit there. I feel way better about that, Easy, than just holding ETH personally.
The thing is, the ETH risk is much lower. Like, that's what I look at too, is like downside risk is much lower. So if you're going for a safer play. Oh, sorry, I got a phone call. I apologize. Just got a phone call. Let me throw that on do not disturb. So I'm saying the downside risk for ETH is way, way, way less, which is, to me, is like why it's better play, you know, like versus L2s, which we've seen some outages recently, you know, on some of these, which is crazy. Like, I think it was Arbitrum maybe that just went through like a 45 minute empty block space, which that's an inherent risk, because that's bad for price action. It's just tough to say, because the more I look at the market, the less I want to hold ETH. And if I'm holding ETH, the more I want to put it to work. And then we just talked about some of these airdrops. There's 15 that you can participate in with literally less than one ETH and hit every single one of them. With less than 0.1 ETH, in my opinion, you can successfully hit all 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of... Like,
Go ahead, Sig.
No, go ahead, Clemente.
I was going to say easy and Signal as well. It feels like for me in this current market, with everything swinging and the upside potential all of a sudden increasing so much, personally, I feel my risk tolerance going through the roof right now. And I don't know if that's a mistake that I'm making personally, but I feel myself, I'm like, dude, I'm willing to take so much more risk right now because the upside can literally just be astronomical. But I don't know if you guys are also feeling that as well.
I don't think you need to take an insane amount of risk though, Clemente, to be able to get the return that you're looking for. I think Jup, however you want to pronounce it, the first airdrop was a very good example of that. Easy, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you only needed to have put something crazy like $50 in order to have seen more than a 10x on that airdrop. And I think like thinking more like that and, you know, diversifying your plays, if it's airdrops or it's tokens or wherever like that, is better than chasing that euphoria. That was one of the biggest lessons I took away from like the 2020 run, 2022, was like chasing euphoria and thinking that number go up is like the only direction it can go. And also not having in your head this disciplined trader mentality or like, this is where I sell. Because once you're on that like euphoria train and you're seeing everybody else around you making money, you're like, oh, why aren't I? So I'm just going to increase my risk without having any risk controls. That's when you lose the money. That's when you crash out. And then that's when you have no more capital to deploy in like in a bull environment, because not everything will go up.
100%. And I've been feeling that. I'm like, I need to slow down. Like, this is a little bit out of control. Speaking of things going up, I want to make sure we're talking about this node. Is it Node Monkeys or Node Monks?
Node Monkeys.
Whatever way you're saying it, these
Dude,
things
they've
are
been
just
attacking me for weeks. They just attack me because we did a stream where we said that they were a mint and flip. Their team was paying Fiverr artists to make video mashups, just lighting us on fire. Me, Finn, and Frisk have just been getting absolutely demolished. Like, their team posted a video clip that was like, you guys aren't getting shit. You're going to be happy about it. I was like, damn. All right, my bad, dude. Yeah, they mashed the shit out of us. But hey, they've cooked, respectively. You could have bought them on secondary for 0.06, too. Like, even if you missed a min at 0.03, at a 2x, you're now up 3x at all-time highs that they've seen at 0.18. It is the first 10K collection, supposedly. There's an argument to be made about Bitcoin punks, but because that was individually minted, there's this whole Ordinals argument because the Node Monkeys team minted them themselves versus a true public free mint that was the Bitcoin punks. Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth, a lot of back and forth. But I think that I'm not financial advice. I think they go much higher.
I mean, these, easy. I love how you just say 0.03. Like it's just 0.03.
It's a ton of money.
It's like $1,400 for a mint.
And no one even bats an eye at it. That's the craziest part. You're spending more than an ETH on secondary, and now that's sitting at like 4 ETH, 5 ETH.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's absolutely cooked. But like I think like people do those numbers, and when they say 0.03, you kind of think in your head like on ETH, oh, it's a 0.03 mint. That's really cheap. But it's not until you convert to dollars, you're like, yeah, that's just a cool like 1500 to 2000 just to do the mint. I mean, it absolutely cooked. It went up to 0.2, which for whoever minted, incredible, like, you know, mint and flip. But on Ordinals, the numbers are different. And I always remember you have to double check the zeros before you start like buying stuff on there, because you need to add an extra zero in order to even start coming down to like what the ETH mints are.
Yeah, I mean, I think
John said 0.05 Bitcoin is one ETH. Like that's the conversion you got to be thinking about. And I was so real quick, I was looking at their recent tweet. They tweeted this yesterday, some of their Node Monkeys. PO got one. I think so. They announced that 1,000 are going to be going to collectors, like influencers or whatever. I know
they gave PO one. He's a big Bitcoin guy.
Hey, he doesn't even own an ordinal. Come on. Let's,
dude, what he has to do though, we're going to have to tell him to actually claim this damn thing, because knowing him, he forgets.
I see him listening. We'll see if he comes on stage. Oh, but yeah, he got one. And I know Thread Guy got DM'd about one, Whaled it as well. And they just didn't respond. And now they're coming.
Oh, look
back
at the thumbs up thing. How'd you get that?
I don't know. It's a new update from Mac, and it's not a bunny. I see if your hand raised. Anything to add here with the Node Monkeys conversation?
Yeah, I'm fading and fudding this. How did I not get it? All right, easy. You didn't get one either. Probably your fault we didn't get them, because you're talking shit about the project.
It's absolutely my fault. I'm not going to lie. It's 100% my fault.
And PO get, bro. And if you look, all the influencers are dumping these things for 0.1 free $5,000. Oh my god.
Nick, I see you joined the show. Did you get a Node Monkeys honorary?
No, does it look like I did? You gonna start off the show with that sort of attitude?
I mean, you showed up in the ninth inning, dude.
15 minutes late, so you don't get one.
We're literally in the bottom of the ninth inning, down 3 runs, and this dude walks up to the plate like, I'm gonna save the game.
I was listening. Okay, I was listening while I was in the shower. Dude, I had an eye mask on. It kept me in like a cocoon. And essentially, I just slept through and I woke up and I was like, asked what time it was to my audio assistant. I don't want to say her name, you know, because I don't want to disrupt her. And then I'm like, shit. Like, that's not ideal.
Well, you look fantastic. You look well rested. You look ready to take on the new year.
And we actually don't even need you here. It's been a really educational show.
No, I know. It's been pretty good. It was actually quite insightful. Clemente, I was learning about his take on the market after he had just purchased grapes and lost a significant amount of money. So I was really interested in hearing about that.
Wow. Okay. Way to just start off the new year by just bashing. Hey, I thought your news was, hey, you know what? I'm going to make sure Clemente feels valued. I'm going to make sure he feels like he's dominating and build his confidence up in 2024. Hey, buddy, remember when you lost $1,000 on that grape coin you were bragging?
Hey, big dog, your bags is down.
Like a week ago, you're busy. You're going like this. You were making hand signals, moving in and out of different trades, just losing money. I've been thinking about it more and more. I'm like, I just want to keep – I keep selling everything, all these airdrops, all these other things. I got the Solana phone saga, which in hindsight I should have just sold in the box. It would have been a better move. Dude,
I don't agree. You're going to make more money off it.
Okay. Well, I'm not putting in this SIM card. I don't need more radiation in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? So it's not worth it at that point. Someone was actually saying there's one of these apps you can get where you can offer a hotspot and they pay you for it. Yeah, and I'm Helium. Like, yeah, which is cool at how much you can earn for irradiating your neck, basically, is what you're getting with that. You're getting thyroid.
I just leave
cancer.
It in my backpack when I drive around on the e-bike.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and it just farms every time I got to go somewhere.
Getting thyroid cancer as a result of that thing, man. You got to be careful.
Yeah, Nick. Hey,
Signal acts like I'm being crazy about this.
Yeah, I do. No. It's because of the thyroid. I was just trying to think, where do you hold your phone? Because no one actually holds their phone like that anymore. Everyone's always on the things. But I feel like as well, Helium is a new Stepan, but for easy. So instead of him actually having to physically do exercise, he just now puts it in his backpack and then walks around and earns money, cycles around and earns money, which is the best way to do it. Sorry. Yeah. How? Give me your theory then.
Don't worry about it. Someone in the comments is telling me that it's non-ionizing radiation. What the hell? I don't even know what the hell you're talking about, okay?
But is that a new airdrop?
Nick never leaves the house, so he can't even farm this.
I do leave the house, okay? I left the house for New Year's after...
We missed one ETH in profit. I'm never doing that again.
It happens every year. It happens every year at midnight.
Every time, Nick, just for some context, we're going to get into some NFT predictions for 2024 and crypto. For anyone listening, if you have any predictions you want to put on the table for 2024, I got some juicy ones. Comment them below. We'll be reading them out later on in the show in just a few minutes. Last thing I wanted to talk about, Easy, was Newmint's, or just the state of Solana NFTs as a whole. It feels like things are pretty dead over there. The recent volume in the last 24 hours on Solana NFTs was $6 million, which is down from the last couple of weeks. We got Mad Lads pulled back to 150 SOL, Tensorian sub 100. So I believe they're at 90 last time I checked. The only thing that I looked at that you were tweeting about, Easy, was Copium, I think was like a stealth mint that got bought.
Dude, I own 30 of these fucking things and I'm so mad about it. I'm deeply underwater. Deeply underwater. Started the year off terribly. Yeah, just deeply underwater. I'm down like 35 SOL on this stupid thing.
Dude, what's this wick on Solana? It was at like 118. Now it's down to like 109. What's going on there, huh?
I don't know, dude. Send it lower so the NFTs can pump and I can exit this position for the love of God. That's all I want. I had heard rumors that this Copium thing was a Truth Labs incubation, which is also what Steamboat Willie, oddly enough, was. And there was a bunch of drama on the timeline yesterday with Alex Tobb launching things. and not giving goblin towns all the whole mess of shit. So as soon as I heard that, I was like, all right, dope. Some ETH to Solana conversion. I'm going to just blindly ape a ton of these things. So I spent a plethora of money on this stupid thing. It was a stealth mint, got heavily botted. Site didn't work for anybody who was not using a bot. They opened up at like 7 soul, which was crazy from a free mint. So got a ton of action, did like let in volume for the day. But I think you're right. Like right now, because Solana is also getting legs again, because you're getting some of these airdrops, meme coins are still absolutely printing. Like used car on Solana has literally led to multiple people buying 2001 Honda Civics and just like raffling them. I'm like, how are you even going to deliver this fucking thing? So it's the memes taking over. Meme coins have still been running. It's been a lot of crazy action. There's a very controversial one called JJ the Jet Plane that launched yesterday. Some of the wildest tweets I've ever seen. Like some of the most disrespectful stuff I've seen on Twitter. That thing went to 1 million. And I'm like, okay. And people could have gotten in for like 10K. Like right now, watching the market, there's still a ton of liquidity. And I think people want a new mint, but that has some legs and some hype. And I think now that it's the new year, we're going to start to see that. I think we're going to start to see more mints consistently, which are going to lead to some flips and some opportunities. And keeping tabs on what's launching and what people are starting to talk about, the Discords are getting more active. You're seeing people start to be alpha hunters again and find these bigger plays and really push towards that. And I think that's what the market wants. With Sol going back to 103, then 118, it's not unexpected to watch NFTs pull back, like at all. And then obviously with meme coin liquidity still being the focus, it's not too surprising to watch some of these pullbacks. But at the same time, I think right now is one of the better things to do is to actually go and find NFTs that you think long enough timeline buying these dips. And that's kind of where I've been positioning to some of it. Like I want more Mad Lads exposure. Tensorian's potential upcoming token seems interesting here because none of those theses have changed. Like that's the bigger thing. Like literally nothing's changed.
Is that New Year's hoodie easy?
No, it's cartons, rings from like champions.
Cartons, remember those?
Yeah, I'm down astronomically.
Easy, do you feel like the upside in the short term might be higher on ordinals given the new mints that are coming up? We have the Bitcoin Ninjas, I believe, are minting on the 16th, and Node Monks recently brought, they did $20 million in trading since their launch on Friday. And then obviously Taproot Wizards coming up. Do you feel like there might be a little bit more short-term excitement on the ordinal side versus Solana NFTs given their lack of new collections?
It's a different tax bracket is what it is. Like when you're playing on ordinals, like you're going in there and degenning with $3,000. Like that's like, oh dude, I bought it for 0.1 BTC. Like, you know, that's pocket change. On Sol, I've watched multiple people trade five figures for 13 cent profit. Like it's a different tax bracket. It's like Some of those moves are much different. And to me, that's like, I don't know if you're going to see people go degenning or aping stuff over there, but the liquidity will always be much deeper on Bitcoin. Just like it's purely a fact. Like there's just much deeper pockets.
I've seen so many punks tweeting about the Node Monkeys, and I was DMing with one as well. I'm in a new elite entrepreneur organization, which shall not be named. Wow. You know, that's, I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to put it out there. And
with a C and end with a ball?
I'm not going to say, but there are DMs being shared. Everyone needs to keep that stuff top secret. And one of the people inside of there owns a bunch of Node Monkeys, and he had been buying a ton of them in advance. I was a little disappointed. I told him I'm pissed that I didn't have a bunch, but congratulations, you know, congratulations on buying all of this. But the reason I brought this up is not because, you know, I am part of the elite. What I was going to say is that they're basically like it. I've never seen more punks tweeting about something like in a recent period than I have seen about Node Monkeys, and a bunch of them just going in, art people going in and buying them, other people. So it was popping off on the timeline. I hate this thing at this point in time. I've not bought in. I was like, are you going to ape in here at 0.15? Like that, like, am I going to go buy this thing for $7,000 is what I was thinking on New Year's Eve. And I'm just like, no, you're good. You know, you got Solana. All right.
It's a sign that we should be buying. Okay, good. I mean, everyone who's watched the show for long enough knows when Nick says, am I going to buy this thing for $7,000? That is the moment we all buy. Basically, it feels like Solana is the slot machines and Ordinals is Casino Royale, the back door. You need your tux, you need an invitation, you need a password, and you need at least $20,000 just to stake the game, just to enter the game. So, I mean, but you know what? Everybody knows their tax bracket. Be comfortable in it. You can make money in any tax bracket. So, you know, Solana, absolutely cooking. Ordinals, cooking. ETH, yeah.
I was wearing a tuxedo with my Solana bag. So just put that, you know, in your pipe and smoke it. The Fraganas is the other one that keeps pumping, which just will not die. It's killing me.
Another one that you didn't buy and pretended to buy and has cooked. There you go.
Going to zero.
Before we move on to the predictions, I wanted to buy an on-chain monkey because I think the on-chain monkeys on Bitcoin feel like a good play. But I was like, so I was looking at it and they're 0.08 Bitcoin. I was like, oh, that's, you know, maybe $1,500 or something like that. Straight up like $3,500. I'm just like, oh God, that's just insane. To be just deploying, that's what you got to do to be playing in the Bitcoin table. Very last thing, Nick, there's one thing I want to get your take on. Did you see Wrecked Guy pulled the Plague NFT? They're gifting equity to their holders again. That's the second one that we've seen. Do you have any takeaways on that? Did you find that interesting, or was that kind of a nothing burger from you for now?
I'm interested in how much equity people get. Is there any clarity on that? Like, I'll take a fraction of a percent, put that into all the Bodagos, and well, actually, I'm not signaling any of that out. But the bottom line is what percentage did people get?
Not, it hasn't been shared. And I think the big thing on the language, so it's not like a security, is basically that it's a gift and it's a surprise, right? So they're like, hey, congratulations. Remember that snapshot we took in October? Here's some equity for it, which is really interesting. What has happened is because on the Plague side, it was given to unlisted frogs. We did see some listings hit a new low and staked frogs hit a new high. And that did cause a 30% pump in the last 24 hours, I believe. The frogs are up to 0.6 ETH, which is interesting. I'm not sure they'll go from here, but
frogs,
the Plague. Sorry, the Plague. They're frogs, but the collection.
Oh, got
is
it. Plenty. Yeah, because they're doing the same thing.
They did it. Yeah, they did it a week ago. And they were doing it for staked frogs. Hey, and they're up 50% in the last 7 days. They've done a 2x in the last 30 days. I don't believe any of us have exposure to that, right?
No.
Okay. Anyway,
we were the number one fastest growing PFP project, and they were number two. So shout out to the Plague. They, you know, I mean, I always don't celebrate number two, but you know, they're doing decently. Congratulations!
Congratulations to the Frogs, Bunny. You have your hand raised. Before we move on to 2024 predictions, anything to add here?
You know, there had to be a handful of people who had their frogs listed at like. Just a ridiculous price, right? That missed this equity. They like listed at 1,000 ETH since they had this thing, and they got nothing, right? You got to feel like a real asshole if you did that.
Pons did give a warning though. He was like, "Yo, unlist your frogs and stake them. There's a surprise coming." I saw you tweeted that literally like four or five times. So if you missed that, that's 100% on you. But it will be interesting to see once more details come out in terms of the equity side, if more. Collections do it going forward. I want to move on to 2024 predictions, either on crypto or NFTs. Nick and Sig, while I would love to hear a prediction or two from you guys on some outlandish takes on what might happen in 2024, in the meantime, I have some. And for anyone listening, feel free to add some in the comments. We'll be reading some. What are you talking about?
This is disrespectful. While I would like to hear your stuff, let me just pause for a moment to shout out myself.
I have some because I was thinking about it. I was going through it. I was like, hey, I want to give these guys some time to come up with some fire takes. And
I already came up with fire takes. Fire.
Yeah, easy. Let's go through some of your predictions. What would you say? I was going through your tweet that you dropped this weekend, which was some 2024 predictions. Any one that you want to highlight in particular?
Number four, an altcoin ETF will have a formal application. That's one that I think will end up happening. Number three was one that, like, if that happens, I should slap. Coinbase to offer FDIC insurance banking services, which creates a accessible off-ramp for crypto. The thing with, I actually got into a pretty back and forth debate on number one with some people because I said Bitcoin and ETH won't make a new all-time high. And a lot of people were like, you're an idiot. Bitcoin will make an all-time high. But I was like, yes, but and ETH. So that was, I knew I had to come with some fire to really get the people going on the first one. So I fired that one off. But then I obviously had to kind of cover my own ass with the wild one. Number one under now much wilder, Bitcoin accepted as a legal currency in the US. Because if that happens, obviously Bitcoin goes all-time high and much higher. Now that's just a completely outlandish throw there, especially number two, crypto.com will be hit with insolvency issues. Turns out a lot of people are big crypto.com fans. And I've just had this running thesis for the Crow token too, just since we saw the FTX situation. So yeah, I went through and have been sitting on some of these and I was like, you know, there's no better time to just get the timeline going than to fire some outlandish claims for the year, knowing that we won't have a single idea if any of them happen for at least the next 365 days. And if I'm wrong, they're going to come back and quote tweet the shit out of the tweet. So please do. Let me get that sweet, sweet engagement. That's all I want.
It wants to get that payout, that Twitter creator payout. I really
think $32 will hit for sure.
Nick, before I want to hear yours. I see you've unmuted, and I'm assuming you got some super hot fire coming your way.
What do you mean, I've unmuted?
I can see it on the stream. My prediction is that Azuki will sign a deal with Netflix to drop an animated show. That's my prediction for 2024. On the anime side, they're going to be dropping a show right on Netflix.
I think Pudgy will beat them to it.
Pudgy over on Netflix before Azuki. Okay, cool. We got
maybe
two
not Netflix, maybe Azuki. Amazon Prime.
Okay.
You know, maybe Peacock. They've HBO been doing a lot of really good stuff. Yeah. I think it's just Max now. Paramount Plus would bang for sure. That'd be a good one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's a prediction I want to throw out there. My second prediction, I don't know if Bunny will like this one, but Pudgy Penguins and Mad Lads will both flip Bored Ape Yacht Club in 2024. Bunny, do you have anything to say about that prediction?
I mean, I'm just looking forward to see you be wrong on it.
Got it. Good take. Nick, anything to add? Any predictions from your end or Sig? Feel free to add anything.
I'm going to go not similar to you, Clemente, but I'm going to say Taproot Wizards becomes the number one. First of all, Ordinals will be the number one volume for NFT collections by the end of the year. And number two, I think Taproot Wizards will be the highest priced NFT collection across all chains by the end of the year. I don't think that's too out to lunch.
I think Taproot Wizards being the highest priced is.
Higher than Apes? Yes. Higher than Punks? Higher than Punks? I think so. Guys, it's a different level of money. That's the thing that we keep seeing over and over again. So I feel like Taproot Wizards being number one across all chains, we're not out for lunch.
CryptoPunks that are 55 ETH floor. So that's what, $125,000 around there. That would be big. It would be big for sure. I would need to be like
unrealistic though is the thing. Like I'm looking at like OMBs here and like red and blue eyes are both like over a Bitcoin. You know, like that's crazy.
I think Taproot Wizards are just gonna absolutely dominate. I agree. Signal. Nick, anything to add here? Any predictions from your end?
Fragana is going to zero. Okay. So that's one that I'm just throwing out. I don't like to talk negatively about other NFT projects, things of that nature, but I just wanted to say I do think that that's the case. I'm tired of seeing people saying, I keep seeing threads where it's like, this is the next Bored Ape Yacht Club. How is that even a fair comparison? I just don't understand.
Because it's a bunch of Bored Apes buying the stupid thing.
Okay, but like from an execution standpoint, it's just incomparable. I feel like calling Pudgy Penguins the next Bored Ape Yacht Club, potentially. Someone said that I was disappointed when Signal said higher than Punks. I don't really care. You know, I feel secure in my bags.
You will when Pio has one and you don't.
With the Node Monks?
Wizard.
Oh, Taproot Wizard. Whatever, you know,
I'm just saying, if Udi's listening, I've been a diehard Bitcoin supporter for a long period of time. These people on this stage don't understand sound money. They don't get the Bitcoin thesis. It's hyper supersonic solid gold of crypto. And you guys just don't understand Bitcoin.
You don't sound like a Bitcoiner at this point.
Yeah, I don't know shit about Bitcoin, dude.
Udi, if you're listening, the problem with Bitcoin and what you need is you need some young life in there. If you need someone to go in there, spice up the Gen Z.
That's a good angle.
Demographic. You see me? I can add that. You know who's the? They call me the top young newsletter writer of the NFT space. Mm. I was nominated for NFT newsletter of the year. The Nifty Daily Digest was. We lost, but we got there, and it's because my angles. I can bring in the Gen Z demographic into the NFT.
We space. Lost.
Well, it was an award that I completely made up, but
then why wouldn't you self anoint yourself the winner? I don't understand.
Yeah. All right. You were on one, Clemente. You were really going there, big dog, and you kind of fell off. You kind of just started to stumble backwards.
You said we lost the made up awards that we created. Bro, if you can't win the made up awards, how are you going to win some real ones, dude? What the hell happened?
All right, Nick,
we've really gotten through his confidence, clearly.
Next NFT prediction for 2024. OpenSea goes out of business. They shut down. They're closing down the doors after a new marketplace comes over and takes all their market share, along with Magic Eden's new enforceable royalties contract, taking collections away from them and taking away their market share. That's my prediction for 2024.
I do like the marketplace bet. So I was asking, and I actually want to see if Gabe Layden will come on, to talk about ERC-721C, because what I was, noticing it, or I was tweeting at him yesterday, I was like, hey, why doesn't OpenSea have this? And it's because the Seaport contract can't support this sort of contract. And you know what Blur's created with? Seaport. And so that's quite a challenging situation, meaning the royalty thing cannot be fixed on ETH unless both OpenSea and Blur decide to support this alternative contract. That said, Magic Eden, which is going to roll out this new marketplace, I thought it was supposed to be in Q4. Am I wrong about that?
Easy.
You got any idea there?
A resident fact checker.
It was supposed to.
Okay.
It was supposed to. It didn't though. So the new speculation is Q1.
Okay. So thanks a lot. What are you working on over there? I was
counting something and I had to see if there was 50 total and there wasn't. So I got distracted.
I was counting my money. So and it's hard to count. Let me tell you, that number was real high.
I was just
high.
Counting how many new Cosmos blockchains are launching and how many I need to diversify into, Nick. That's all it was.
Okay. So,
Nick, as the resident upcoming young investigator,
I didn't
take
finish my statement, Clemente. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to add, yo, check this out, dude. Look at that. Yo, Magic Eden, Yuga Labs. That's upcoming. That's some alpha for you. I was adding on to what you were going to say on the Magic Eden side, but I'll let you continue.
That's not alpha. That was literally what we were talking about the date of.
Yeah, like Clemente, that's. Dude, like, what are we going to do with this guy?
So I was going to say. Well, we got some issues also going on over at Solana. These wicks this morning are not looking good. Seems we should have sold it at 116 there because we're now down $8 per token. But back to the marketplace thing, this is a real problem facing ETH. Like there's people that dunk on Gabe because Gabe keeps posting about ERC-721C. He posts about it in a way that's sort of like dunking on the marketplaces.
It's
so he's
funny.
Out there talking shit. No one's resolving anything. How is this actually going to resolve? Someone says, move it all to BTC. BTC has no royalties. They can't even get a transaction through within like 2 hours. So is the sort of time for resolving a transaction there. But how does ETH resolve this sort of situation? I just don't see that taking place.
ETH becomes an L2 for Solana. It's pretty simple.
I don't even understand that.
That's how they solve gas fees.
Well, that's
just pick it up and move it.
All right.
I don't even know what you're talking about at this point. That made no sense whatsoever. But yeah, so my prediction is, okay, here are the predictions. Sorry. Solana, number one NFT blockchain of 2024, 2025 in terms of volume in dollars, okay? The number two, Solana, number one in terms of users, 2024, 2025. Prediction number three, that basically one of these alt chains becomes, it looks like Say is on the way to doing this. Near is another one that's potential. There's a couple of different blockchains that I hate this one, but after Easy's comments and seeing Beanie, I'll just toss it in there, that one of those chains temporarily, actually Solana dethrones Ethereum as number two. Okay, so that's another throw out there. These are all bullish Solana takes. Okay, then we're going to say Say or another L1 is got to be AVAX or one of these others becomes the number four, I'm going to say, associated with it. So after ETH, one of these becomes number four in a meaningful way. And becomes worth, I'm going to put up an exact number so this can be accountable, 25% of the price, the market cap of Ethereum.
I like that. I like that a lot. Fully diluted?
Sure. Does anyone, who doesn't use fully diluted?
Dude, the shitcoiners are weird, man.
So that's another thing that I would say. I'm trying to think of like any other wild. No, one of them is one take that Beanie had. Okay, OG, geez, one of the commenters is saying that I just restated Beanie's things. I'm gonna take another one and say that USDC flips Tether. Okay,
so that's actually a bold claim.
Okay, so that's another one. And last thing here, Gemini Earn users still don't have their money in 2025.
Damn. Nick, I will say I wanted a little bit more spice to these. You know, I was like, these are like boomer 2024 predictions. You know what's getting? My Azuki take is getting some traction. We're getting the gaming piece are taking over. I'm getting some tweets coming at you. Bryson, one of the top young rising gaming content creators, like, yo, bro, that's a freaking sick take. I like that. I agree with it.
Wait, what is the take?
That Azuki is going to do an anime show specifically on Netflix.
You know what? I don't think it'll be Netflix, but I think it'll be like the Far East Asian, the Far East Asian version of Netflix, something like that. But I don't think it's going to be Netflix. But it could be like a big streaming giant in Asia. That's their market. That's what they're going for. Right. That's literally what they stated last year. So I don't think they're going to target the US market. I think they'll target a partnership in Asia, whichever country that may be. Big place.
I don't pay enough attention to the Asian market. I'm going to be honest. And that's maybe one of the vulnerabilities that we have here. I got one more, Bodago's and our business, we release what turns out to be the best quality physical product, I'm going to say, by next year of any NFT project.
Damn. Okay. My prediction 2024. I'm not going to throw that one out there. Any last ones before we wrap? Bunny, I see you have your hand raised. Anything to add here, 2024 predictions?
Yeah, I think one that you guys are all overlooking here, apes to a new all-time high. What do you guys think about that?
No, sorry, Bunny.
What was the previous all-time? I was 400K?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bunny's got his whole life savings like going on this thing. I'm sorry, Bunny, man. You made a bad decision.
I spent $2,000 on an ape. I mean, I'm doing just fine.
But, so you've been just holding it for we're nearing 3 years. Can you believe that?
Waiting for a million. Dude, it's not at a million yet. When it goes to a million, I'll sell it.
Million is, hey, that's his target price, Nick. You got to respect it. Bunny,
do you own anything else?
Yeah, of course. I don't know other NFTs.
Oh, I was going to say at all. Just like literally, like, is there anything else that you own? Maybe. I mean, I know you have like
all my stuff. Dude, I listened to Gary Vee's podcast. I sold all my silverware and I bought the Bored Ape.
I mean, I'm assuming you have clothes, but I don't know. You haven't been on camera for a little bit, so maybe that's why you haven't been showing up on the YouTube stream.
Bunny, don't let him get to you. You know, don't, Nick just throws these out there. My New Year's resolution is, hey, don't listen. Don't let Nick bring you down. Just stay focused. Keep your eyes on the prize and just dominate in 2024. Pio, I see you have your hand raised. Anything to add here? Any predictions for 2024?
Well, I thought you were going to throw to me earlier during one of the times where you were talking about me and Ordinals and, you know, I came on stage. But anyway, look, I'm going to make some 2024 predictions. I'm surprised that, you know, I was about to be excluded, Clemente. Come on, big dog. First prediction. These are going to be bold predictions, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to go run of the mill. These are going to be bold. So some of them could be wrong. I'm just going to put it out there first. Number one, Bitcoin, new all-time high before the halving. First time ever that happens. That's number one. Number two, the ETF is not priced in. Okay. It is not priced in. That is not a bold prediction. That's an obvious prediction. But anyway, yes. Another prediction is more NFT businesses, at least three more like Threelanders that have just as much clout as Threelanders and just as much of a reputation of Threelanders will go out of business in fashion with a very similar explanation of just basically like, we're not doing this anymore. We haven't been making money for a long time. We're not doing it. And I predict that Pudgy Penguins will make some sort of announcement of a deal that is considered significant as hell. You know, when you talk about like mainstream culture, maybe it's an actor or a mainstream celebrity that has tens of millions of Instagram followers is signing a deal with them. Maybe it's that they do a deal with a Netflix or a Hulu or that, or you know, some sort of massive deal. A streamer is in Pudgy World, you know, something like that this year. I got some 2025 predictions, but I'll save them for a year from now.
You just keep cutting out, Pio. Your audio keeps cutting out, and I'm wondering if that's because you've been gone for 4 weeks, dude. Like, you're going to show up and work? You know, what's going on? I got a prediction. Pio's going to start working in 2024. That's what I think is going to happen.
I like those predictions, Pio. Some of them were a little too Bitcoin related, maybe. Yeah, any other predictions before we wrap up? Nick, I saw you had some reactions to what Pio was saying. Any feedback on what he brought up?
I'm fine with it.
They
weren't wild bets.
Damn.
What did he
say? Damn. All right. He said he asked if you were making faces. My prediction before we wrap up, the Nifty hits 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. Boom. Booyah. Put it on paper. Let's go.
It'll be more than that. 100,000
subs on YouTube. It'll be more.
Damn. Well, there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. Thank you all for...
Real quick note before we go, are you wearing your like high school outfit there? Like, is that what's going on? Is it my high school or first one was the Warriors. We had a similar W. Is that from your high school also?
It's the University of Washington who won last night. And what, you went to high school in the 1800s? Do you even have that shirt anymore? No, this is the UW Dogs that won over Texas last night, are going to the national championship next week. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. Thank you all for tuning in. That was a banger episode. We're going to be back tomorrow at the same time, 9 a.m. Eastern. We will see you then. Thank you all for